In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, we're thrilled that you've joined us this morning for the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. It's my joy to be able to host this broadcast every other morning. And for you to join us, we have heard so many wonderful reports of folks who start their day out with us, maybe on their way to work, maybe already at work, maybe just getting the kids ready, or not quite ready to do that. You're sitting there with your cup of coffee, and you've just got a few minutes that we can focus our attention on God and His will. And Pastor Joe Helm has been helping us the last couple of times to do that out of Colossians chapter 1 and other passages. And Pastor Joe, thank you for being back with us this morning as we just notice the workings of the Holy Spirit of God and the joy that comes as a result of that.
Oh, yeah, Pastor Greg, and that's why the Scripture refers to it as transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the imagery there, the Greek word behind that word is the word metamorphosis. And, of course, the first thing you think of when you think of metamorphosis is this ugly, maybe fat caterpillar or worm or a slug or whatever, and it goes into a cocoon and it comes out an entirely transformed, entirely different, beautiful, soaring creature. And that's what God wants for your life. He wants you to know His will. And that's why Paul prayed for these Colossian believers that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will. And the knowledge of His will, there's so much of it. The Scripture is overwhelmingly full of the will of God. We saw the last couple of times that, number one, it's God's will that you be saved.
Right.
He would have none to perish, but He would have all men to be saved. Number two, it's His will that you be Spirit-filled. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And we looked at a lot of other passages that talked about that. And so we saw, be saved, be Spirit-filled. Thirdly, today we're going to look at be sanctified, because it's God's will that as a believer, once you be saved, you be Spirit-filled, and you be sanctified. And that idea of sanctification is the idea of where we get our word holy. The root idea of it is to cut something. It's actually to take something, and it's the imagery of cutting that thing in two in order to separate off a part.
Hmm.
And so that's how we get our idea of holy. It's to take something and to separate it from something. But there's always an opposite to the separation. Separation from,
okay,
but it's separation to,
right,
something. And so the idea is to hallow it, to consecrate it, to dedicate it. In other words, you're coming away from something. The implication is the world, the flesh, you know, the mundane things of this sinful fallen world. You're coming away from that, and you're dedicating yourself to that which is holy, that mm-hmm. which is righteous, that mm-hmm. which is God, in essence. And so you're setting yourself apart from sin, from the world, to the exclusive use of God.
Not to be used again by the sensual or selfish motives and desires of our life in the past.
Yeah, never to go back. That's the ideal.
Right.
And the
right.
idea that,
yeah.
Now, of course, we know in this fallen life that we do go back.
Right.
We do make the decision to go and submit again to that old master.
But God wants us to be clean, doesn't He?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the meaning of this, again, the formal idea of sanctification is that we have been freed from sin and now enabled to realize the will of God for his or her life, the believer. And again, this common idea is that we separate from the world, and then we consecrate ourselves to God, and we declare ourselves, in a sense, to now belong to God, the new master. And God has provided, through the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, that we have been freed from that old man. We don't serve that old master anymore.
Amen.
Those ties have been cut. Now, there's some simple Old Testament examples of this idea of holiness or separation. Remember, the firstborn were sanctified to God. They were set apart to God.
Right.
The priests were set aside to God for holy service. The tent of meeting and the altar were consecrated and dedicated and could only be used for the service of God. The offerings that the people brought were dedicated to God and could only be used for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The feasts, the holy days, all of these things, they're all types of and examples of things that were consecrated to God, separated from sin in the world, never to go back. and never to be used that way again. And so the idea here is this unique, special, dedicated consecration to the purposes of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the believer has to ask themselves, have I done this?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Am I doing this mm-hmm. on a day-to-day basis? Am I setting myself apart for the exclusive use of God and His will? You know, another way to look at it, I guess, would be the contrast between that which is sacred and that which is common.
Mm-hmm.
The sacred is set apart for that special use or significance. The common is simply the everyday, everything, common thing of the world. And the believer is supposed to understand the special position that they have been set apart to. In fact, the scripture refers to it as a peculiar people, a special people. But you know, there's a moral and ethical sense of sanctification, not just this positional sense. The positional sense that we've been saved from, separated out of the world to God, and that is a gift that God gives us on salvation. But there's now also in the believer's life this moral and ethical and practical sense that I am to be living in a way that demonstrates this inner transformation that has taken place. And so the question, okay, well, what does that look like? What is this ultimate expression or the outward expression of sanctification or holiness? What does that look like? Well, the scripture is very, very clear on this as well. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, he said, literally, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And then he goes on to explain what that means. He says that you abstain from sexual immorality.
Right.
And then he talks about that in a little bit more detail. And so we know right now, as believers, if we're in the Word, we're reading the Word, it says to us, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. All right, so that means that we are to be refraining from, staying away from, abstaining from any form of sexual immorality.
And like Jesus said, it's not just actions, but it's what we look at, what we lust after in our hearts and minds. It goes from there to actions.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And that's where it starts, from within, mm-hmm. out of the heart of man.
Sure.
Jesus tried to teach the Pharisees, it's not what you take into your mouth that defiles you.
Right.
It's what comes out of your mouth. And of course, the mouth is the expression or the speaker or the pipeline mm-hmm. of the heart.
Right.
And so he was trying to teach them this fact that you have to be pure in heart. Now, we can get in a few moments perhaps to the provision that God has made for you to be pure in heart. Because this is not something you can do in your own power either.
Right.
This is the enabling, energizing grace of God that works on the transforming of the heart too. But just other things that are clear from Scripture that are the will of God with regard to this idea of holiness. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. But before that, it told us what the works of the flesh are.
Sure.
Not adultery, not fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions or arguings, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension with people and making divisions in the church,
mm-hmm.
not being envious, not hurting and to the ultimate murdering people,
right.
drunkenness, revelry, partying. These are things that the scripture makes utterly, totally clear are part of sanctification. Not going back to the things that you used to do that were a part of the fallen world system. In fact, Paul said to the Corinthians, such were some of you.
Yes.
But now you've been cleansed. Now you've been redeemed and you've been cleansed and delivered from all of
Justified,
that.
Right.
Justified. And then Paul goes on in Colossians 3, too, and he said to these Colossian believers, put off all these things. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And don't lie to one another. These are all imperative expressions of the very will of God. And these are the kind of things that we need to be engaged in and yielding ourselves to the energizing grace of God to transform our lives so that we are looking more and more and we're thinking more and more and we're speaking more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the will of God, is that we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son.
It sounds to me like there needs to be a whole lot more thought and even short prayer before we even open our mouths.
Yeah, I mean, directly, affirmatively and imperatively, we're supposed to put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, yeah.
We're to put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness. We're to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, the knowledge of the truth. We're to put on, therefore, as God's chosen people, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. You know, being patient with one another.
Putting up with.
Comforting one another.
Yeah.
Forgiving one another. Loving one another. Understanding one another. In honor, preferring one another. Not judging one another. All I'm doing is reading phrases of Scripture. These are all the expressions of the will of God.
But how do we do that?
We do it by the enabling grace of God when we make the choice to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6.
What an important passage.
Yeah, it's everything. And that's why I tell my classes, whenever I get on these subjects, I tell them, you must memorize Romans 6.
Mm-hmm.
And you must study it. And you must understand the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and how you are in that every step of the way.
Right.
Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, so we also should walk in newness of life.
And it's not talking about water baptism.
No, it's talking about spiritual
baptism. Right.
And another way the scripture refers to that as is circumcision of heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an understanding that in the baptism of the Spirit, which, by the way, Ephesians says, happens the moment you believe.
In 1 Corinthians 11.
Contrary to
right.
some teaching today
right.
that says that God has to regenerate you before you even hear the gospel.
No.
In my opinion, that's heresy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a problem in the church today. The scripture makes it abundantly clear that you are sealed with the Spirit from the moment you believe. Paul told that to the church at Ephesus. And so it's an understanding that when you were born again of the Spirit, you died with Christ, you rose with Christ, and now you walk in him, and you're no longer under the power of that old master. And so what you have to do is you have to know these things, you have to reckon them true, and then you have to yield to them. You have to die to yourself and yield yourself to Christ. And it's self-crucifixion, the idea. Paul said in Galatians, you know, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but yet it's not I, but
mm-hmm.
Christ that lives in me.
Right.
And so it's me dying to self and allowing the energizing grace of God through the Holy Spirit and his word to live through me. That's what it means to be sanctified and spirit-filled and growing in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor Joe, thank you so much for sharing these truths, knowing and doing the will of God. If you would like to maybe have some more help, we'd be glad to have you call us here at the church. That's Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Feel free to get in contact with us. Love to have you visit with us some Sunday or some Wednesday evening and just have the opportunity to fellowship with you and hear what God is doing in your life as a result of the Word for Life broadcasts. So until the next time we get together, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.